We're in the middle of a series on the Holy Spirit, and today we're going to be looking at the spiritual gifts that Paul talks about in this chapter, the nine gifts of the Spirit. And so this is kind of a spiritual sandwich here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14. And so you've got in 12, it lists the gifts, and then in chapter 13 is the meat, if you will, of the sandwich, and that's the love chapter. And then 1 Corinthians 14 covers the use of the gifts of the Spirit in public and private worship. And so we'll get to chapter 14 next week, but I want us to look at chapter 12 here this morning. So we're going to begin at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. I'm going to make you work today. Look it up in your Bibles. I don't have scriptures up here. And so I want you to follow along in the Word with me. And so 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1 says this, "Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I don't want you to be ignorant." Paul says, I want you to know about this stuff. I want you to understand it. I want you to be informed. Verse 2, "You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols." This, of course, all around the known world back then, there were worshiping idols, things that men had made, whether of stone or wood or whatever. And so he says, "You were led astray to these mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed.' And no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit." And so he's kind of saying there and in another place as well that you'll know whether a person's genuine or not if they're blessing the Lord or if they're cursing the Lord. Because if they're cursing the Lord, you know that they're not with the Lord. And if they're really, and you feel it in your spirit will bear witness with their spirit whether they're genuine or not. That's part of discernment. And we'll be talking about that in just a moment. So no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. In verse 4, there are different kinds of gifts, but it's the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but it's the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but it's the same God who works all of them in all men. So if we know Jesus as our Savior, I'm hearing here that he's working these gifts in us that know the Lord. So these gifts are resident within us at the Holy Spirit's bidding to use these gifts. I believe that every believer in Christ has these gifts resident within us because we have the Holy Spirit resident within us at salvation. The Holy Spirit comes in. And so then verse 7, he says, "Now to each one of us, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." These gifts are for the blessing and the ministry to the body of Christ. To one, there's given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. There's that discernment. To another, the speaking in different kinds of tongues or languages. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues or the interpretation of languages. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And he, the Holy Spirit, gives them to each one just as he determines. Because of our unique personalities and God knowing what those personalities are, he made us, he created us, he knows our unique personalities. He knows what we like, what we don't like. He's put giftings in us in the natural realm, but he's also put spiritual gifts within us in that spiritual and supernatural realm. And so we're going to talk about that this morning. I've done some real study in this, and I love this from the Full Life Study Bible, and it adds this to what we just read. The list in 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10, where the gifts are listed, is not necessarily exhaustive, and the gifts may occur in various combinations. Again, God will work through us, through our strengths and through our personalities, to where we will be prone to one or more different gifts that we use maybe on a regular basis. But again, all the gifts are resident within us, and if the need arises, God can empower us to use any of those gifts at any moment in time. But let's look at maybe four different categories here, four different things. First of all, the manifestations of the Spirit are given according to the Spirit's will. And we just read that in verse number 11. It's determined by the Holy Spirit as He chooses, as He works through us. So it's according to the Spirit's will. But it's also when need arises, and according to the believer's eager desire. The Bible says, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. If you don't desire these gifts, if you don't have a hunger or a thirst for more of God and to develop in your walk with the Lord, then it's not going to happen. It's when need arises, but it's also according to our desire to be used by God. Do you want to go on to these ministry gifts? And then secondly, some gifts may be have more than one gift to minister to particular needs. That's what we're saying. It's not just one gift that we may have, but we can have multiple gifts that God can use us in. So the believer ought to, again, there's the word desire, the believer ought to desire gifts, not just one gift. Don't just get complacent with God using you in just one area, but ask Him to use you in different areas that maybe you've got a desire to move in and work in. A third thing is, it is unscriptural and unwise to assume that because someone exercises a spectacular gift, that person is more spiritual than one who maybe has a less spectacular gift. In other words, maybe there's a healing ministry. You know, that's kind of a spectacular gift. And you think, well, just praying in the Spirit, that's not as spectacular. You know, everyone should do that and can do that. And then spiritual gifts must not be confused with the fruit of the Spirit, which relates more directly to Christian character. So we talked about the fruit of the Spirit already in the series, where there's nine fruits of the fruits of the Spirit, and then there's also nine gifts of the Spirit. And again, I'll say this, I would much prefer to have a church full of people that are full of the fruit of the Spirit, even over the gifts of the Spirit. And I'm not slamming the gifts, but I'm just saying that Jesus, He never said you'll know a person by their gifts. He said, you will know them by their fruit. Amen? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance, are also called self-control. Those nine fruit of the Spirit are character. It's integrity. It's your walk with the Lord. It's what you're pursuing. That's the heart of God. All those fruit of the Spirit you see are characteristics of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen? And so the fruit is really important to me. But the gifts are also important, but they're important to the church, where we can minister to the body of Christ, and as well as non-believers as well. And then a fourth thing is, the Spirit's manifestation through gifts can be counterfeited by Satan, or even false workers disguising themselves as servants of Christ. I want us to just kind of do a little bouncing around here for just a moment, if you'll go with me. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to pick up at verse number 21. Matthew 7 and verse 21. And it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? That's one of the gifts of the Spirit. And in your name drive out demons? That's something that every believer should be able to do. Jesus said that these signs shall follow them that believe. Amen. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover. And if you touch or take any deadly thing, it's not going to hurt you. Jesus said, as believers, we should move in those areas. These signs shall follow them that believe. It's not for some televangelist. It's not for some pastor. It's not for some church leader or some special person. No, every believer can move in these areas. And so they'll say, did we not do these things? And he says, I'll tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. That ties into what we're just saying here, that the Spirit's manifestation through gifts can be counterfeited by Satan. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more. Or even false workers that disguise themselves as servants of Christ. Let's go to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24. And we're going to go to verse number 11, Matthew 24 and verse number 11. And the word says this, many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. That's one of the signs of the last days. Many false prophets will appear and will deceive many people. Look at verse number 24 of Matthew 24, verse number 24. And it says this, for false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect, if that were possible. It's not possible, but he said, if it was, he said, they're going to be so those miracles are going to be so astounding in the last days, so out there that many people are going to be deceived. But the word tells us that we are not going to be those that are deceived, because we will know the truth, and the truth sets you free. And so we'll not be deceived by these, because we'll have that spirit of discernment in us. Is this for real? Is this not? Even those that maybe you do listen to on television or radio or whatever other places that you get your spiritual nourishment from, you need to be careful, and you need to understand as you watch, as you listen. Do you sense in your spirit? Oh yeah, this feels right. This feels good. Or are you get a check in your spirit? No, that doesn't sound right. And so you look it up in Scripture. The Bible says the Bereans searched the Scriptures to see whether Paul and his followers were really teaching the right stuff. Were they true to Scripture? And we need to do that as well. When we listen to others, and as you listen to me, you need to search the Scriptures. See, is this making sense to you? Is this jiving with your spirit? Does the Holy Spirit in you feel comfortable with the teaching? It's really, really important that we know that. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and let's pick up at verse number 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And we're going to pick up at verse number 13. Give you a moment to get there. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 13. It says this, for such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising then if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness, but their end will be what their actions deserve. And then one more that I really like is found in 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, and it's going to be chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians, my bad. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and let's look at verse number 20. Verse number 20. He says here, do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. It's important, again, that we use that discernment in understanding, is this for real or is this fake? Is this guy on target? Is this lady on target? Or are they off base? And so that's where our discernment comes in those areas. And so, going a little bit further, the gifts of the Spirit can be broken down into three categories. Let's get that up here, Alan. The Holy Spirit, this can be broken down in the gifts into three categories. First of all, the gift of revelation. The gifts of revelation, I should say. There's three gifts that fall under that subtitle. One is the word of wisdom. The second is the word of knowledge. And the third is the discerning or distinguishing of spirits. That's the first subsection. There's three sections of gifts, and that's the one under gifts of revelation: word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and the discerning or distinguishing of spirits. Now, the second one, let's look at that one, Alan, the gifts of power. And so as we list them, we see that those three are the gifts: the gift of faith, the gift of healing, and the gift of miracles or miraculous powers, NIV says. Those are the gifts of power: faith, healing, and miracles or miraculous powers. And then the third is gifts of inspiration. And that would be the gift of tongues or languages, the gift of interpretation or the interpretation of those languages or tongues. And then the final one is the gift of prophecy, the gift of prophecy. And so these are really, really important things, three different segments on the gifts of the Spirit. And Paul closes this chapter, chapter number 12 that we've been going through, with this word. He says, and now I'm going to show you the most excellent way. I'm going to show you the most excellent way. Let me get back in my Bible to the right chapter here. We just finished closing out there, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and that's what Paul writes. Now we'll show you the most excellent way. And again, we talked about that spiritual sandwich where the gifts are listed in chapter 12. In chapter 14, it's going to be the working of those gifts in public usage and also in the body of Christ, in church, in a church service. And in the middle of that that sandwich is the chapter on love. The meat of all of Scripture, of all of the Word, is love. And we're going to talk about that. But also, before we leave chapter 12, not only does it talk about spiritual gifts, but it talks about the body. And Paul uses our physical body to speak about the body of Christ and how we all have different roles. The hand can't see, but the hand is really still important to us, you know. Our big toe, you don't see it because we normally wear shoes, but that big toe helps us with balance, you know. And so every part of the body has a unique gift. And Paul says that's just like it is in the body of Christ. Everybody has giftings. Everybody has strengths. We all have weaknesses as well, but we've got strengths. We've got gifts. We've got spiritual gifts that God has put into us. And so we're going to see this coming up in the next week or two as well, how that Paul talks about the body, but not only in the physical realm, but in the spiritual realm as well. So that's an interesting part. We're not going to cover that today, but it's one that you might want to read this afternoon and just kind of reflect on that in regards to the body of Christ, one body, but many parts. Let's go to the meat of the message here now, though, and that's 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And this is really important. We talk about it as the love chapter, and it certainly is. We'll talk a little bit more about that, too, about the commandments that Jesus talked about. But in this chapter, Paul starts off. He says, if I speak in the tongues or languages of men and of angels. And we know from our study the first in this series, we talked about the day of Pentecost and the baptism of the Holy Spirit and how it was such a phenomenon because the 120 that were filled with the Holy Spirit, they were creating such a ruckus or whatever that a crowd gathers around them from all over the world because they were there for a festival. So Jews from all over the world are in Jerusalem and they're hearing these 120 speaking in all these different languages that they're from, all the different countries and cities and towns that they represent. They're hearing them speaking the wonders of God, praising, worshiping God in their own languages. And so Paul says, if I speak in the tongues of men and even angels, but if I don't have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Now, I've been raised in Pentecost all my life, and I've heard the genuine, and I've heard the fake and the phony and the manipulated, you know. And so he says, if the motive is not love, if the heart and the root of it all is not love, he said, you're just making a bunch of noise. And when I was growing up in some small churches in Louisiana, South Alabama, you know, some of these country churches, you know, you see the good, the bad, and the ugly. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, but you, so you have to discern. You have to be open to listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Because if the motive isn't love, if the motive isn't trying to reach lost people and minister to people, then you're just making noise. Unless the Lord builds the house, you're spinning your wheels, you're laboring vain if the Lord's not in it. And so, but love has to be there, has to be there. He said, if not, I'm just making noise. Verse 2, if I have the gift of prophecy, so tongues is a gift, prophecy is a gift. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but if I don't have love, I'm nothing. Again, not only tongues is a gift, prophecy is a gift, but the word of knowledge, knowledge is a gift, faith is a gift, all that stuff. And he said, if I can move mountains with my faith, but if I don't have love, then I'm nothing. Forget the gift if the heart's not right, if the motive's not right, you know? If I'm trying to build my own kingdom instead of God's kingdom, that's not right. And so it's so important that the motive has to be there. Then he says in verse 3, even if I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames. So if I'm generous to a fault, and if I become a martyr for the Lord, but if I don't have love, I still haven't gained anything. I still haven't gained anything. And then he gives this great definition of what love is all about. And I use this in almost every wedding ceremony that I've ever performed. And it's this great definition of love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. Love is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. That's a biggie right there. Love does not keep a record of wrongs. So in our marriages, we don't need to bring up past junk and garbage, you know. Don't harbor that. Don't hold on to that. Don't hold a grudge against your partner. Love keeps no record of wrongs. And then love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with and in the truth. Jesus is truth. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. There's that word again. God wants us to persevere through the issues of life and the trials of life. God wants us to persevere in love as well. And verse 8, he says, love never fails. That kind of love from verses 4 through 7, that kind of love will never fail. Jesus says, I love you. God says, I love you with an everlasting love. It will never stop. But where there are prophecies, those are going to cease at some point. There won't be a need for prophecy once it's all been fulfilled. Where there are tongues or languages, they'll be stilled. There's going to be 30 minutes of silence in heaven. We know the Bible tells us that. Where there is knowledge, that's just going to pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, when Jesus comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, Paul writes, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. And now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. But then we shall see face to face. If you want to do a fun study, do a study on face to face in Scripture. John talks about it, Peter talks about it, and Paul talks about it right here. He says, one day, he says, you know, right now, we just, it's like we're looking in the mirror and we're getting a poor reflection. Maybe the mirror is flawed and we're just not really getting the true picture. But he says, one day, it's going to be face to face. Face to face with Jesus. Can you imagine that? You know, that song, I Can Only Imagine. What are you going to do? Are you going to dance before the Lord? Are you going to fall down in his feet? Or will you be able to speak at all? What will you do when you see Jesus face to face? Then Paul writes, now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. One day we're not going to have any more questions because we'll have all the answers. It'll all be said and done. You know, it'll be a great thing. Then I shall know fully, just as I am fully known. And he closes that great chapter with this. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Again, the motive, the attitude of our hearts. When we speak the truth, Paul says, speak the truth, but speak it from a heart and an attitude of love. If we are ministering to unbelievers, and if they know we love them, even though we're speaking maybe a hard truth to them about sin or whatever, if they know it's from a motive of love, that we don't hate them, we want them to go to heaven with us, it makes a big difference, amen? You're not going to argue somebody into the kingdom of heaven, but you can love them into the kingdom of heaven. You can do that. I know because as a 19-year-old young man, my church family loved me into the kingdom of heaven. The hippie dude, the long hair, the bell-bottom jeans, the toe sandals, all that stuff, that generation, the Jesus generation that we became, they loved me into the kingdom. They could have rejected me. They could have, get this guy out of here or whatever, and others that look like me, but my church didn't. They loved us into the kingdom, and many of our youth group that I grew up with back then, we're in full-time ministry today all across the country and other parts of the world from that little church in a little town called West Wego, Louisiana, our hometown. And, you know, God did a great work. So love, the greatest of these is love. Wherever your kids are, wherever your grandchildren are, whether they're far from God or whether they're serving God, always just love them where they are and always let them know that no matter what they do, good, bad, or ugly, you're always going to love them. You're not going to always approve of what they may be doing, but you love them. You're going to love them. You'll never stop loving them. That's how the Father loves us. Amen? An everlasting love. And he said, I'm never going to leave you, and I'm never going to forsake you. I'll be with you always, even to the end of the ages. Your kids and grandkids need to know you're with them to the end. You're going to hang with them. And we close with this. Jesus said that the two greatest commandments are to love God and to love one another as we love ourselves. Love is the greatest, greatest gift. And then he also said this, by this shall all men know that you're really my disciples. How? By the love that you have for one another. By the love that you have for one another. I've always appreciated the spirit of love in our church, that we're family and we love one another and we're here for one another. And many of our people have been from different countries over all the years that we've been here. Don't have family locally. We've never had family locally, you know, blood family. But we've all become family to one another, no matter where we're from, no matter what ethnic background, no matter whatever. We've become family. And that's how he said that the outsiders, the unbelievers, will know that you're really Christians is by that love that you have for one another. You guys have been a great example of that, and you still are.